Welcome to Shooting Spaces, a real estate photography podcast. Discussions on gear, technique, industry news, and interviews with the best in the business. Now, here are your hosts, Rich Baum and Brian Berkowitz.
Welcome to Shooting Spaces Podcast. I'd like to introduce myself. This is Rich Baum from Sacramento, California.
And Brian from New York.
Hi, Brian. How are you?
Good. How are you, Rich? You sound a little under the weather. So,
buddy, I feel like I've been burning the candle at both ends. Super busy, but with the weather we've been having and not getting enough sleep and everything, I think I got a cold. And I'm still going to work today. Still going to go shoot a house. So I'm not down for the count, but I sure feel I feel it.
Yeah. Well, you know what? When we are in the business we're in, and we got to deal with the agents we deal with, you got to tough it out.
Yeah, no, it's I feel bad for people that got to go to offices and then they can actually take the day off because it's good for them so they don't get other people sick. But agents wouldn't, I don't think they'd see it the same way. And that's okay. I feel good enough to go out and work. I'm okay. So, yeah.
All right, cool. I want to mention something.
Yeah. What's up?
I got a message this morning from somebody else in the community, and it just goes to show you the type of community that the real estate photographers are and the type of community that we're trying to help build with what we're doing here. I got an email or a message on my phone from another real estate photographer on Long Island who is actually, he's a listener of the podcast, Tim Hill, timhillphoto.com. Mm-hmm. And I've never met the guy, but he's a listener of our podcast and he's fully booked up for the week. And he called me to see if I'm available and wanted to refer me to the job.
Sweet.
And it's, you know, it's a type of thing where so many people are worried about competition and this and that. And this guy lives 15 minutes from me. And this is what the industry should be about. You know, other photographers helping each other. We're all in it together. This is what you and I are aiming to do, Rich, with this podcast, is just to help everyone out. And, you know, everyone should look out for each other. We're all in this together.
That is so great. And yeah, I have the similar stories. It's just, it's wonderful. And you know, I deal with, from my workshops, I always get one or two people that are very concerned about their competition. And it's funny because for two of the workshops, we actually had two people in the same workshop that were direct competition. And you could see that really, really uncomfortableness at the beginning. But at the end, it almost faded away, which I was really proud of the individuals. But I think that it really has to do with, there's so many factors, but I really think that you need to believe in yourself. You need to believe in your business, that what you provide is a valuable service and that you can coincide with your competition, even if your competition's charging lower money, whatever, because people are going to want you for what you do. And that's what I help people, I would like to set people up with this optimistic view. And then you can embrace your competition. As most people know, I do. I have good relationships with three or four of my local competition. And we all spread the work around and we, you know, make sure that nobody poaches. That's a no-no. Never call the other person's competition agent and say, hey, my work's better and I'll charge less. That's not good. But I think that I think it's great to just embrace your competition. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. I was very happy to hear from it. And, you know, it's spreading good vibes is what it's all about. So,
Great. So, that sounds exciting. How's the weather out there? It's a good opportunity because, today we're doing another episode of Ask the Guys where, listeners can call in and record a 90-second message, leave your name, your company name, and then ask your question. And, we have a couple of great questions today. One is, ask the guys, how do you deal with inclement weather? And I think that's a perfect, I don't know about you, but we in California, we've been having a bit of rain and you and back east, been getting hammered.
Exactly. We had a tough winter this year, but, you know, you make do and, you know, let's listen to the question and then we'll talk about how we each handle it in each of our different, you know, climates.
Yeah. And what do you say we do? We're going to do two Ask the Guys because we have another great question too on white balance. And I'll save that for the second one. I think it's great.
Yep. All right. Let's roll the first question.
Hey guys, Rochelle Vetter with Rochelle R Photography out of San Antonio, Texas. to ask you guys if you had any suggestions and shooting tips for shooting in inclement or overcast weather days. We seem to have a lot of that about this time of the year down here, and look forward to any response that you guys might have. Thanks.
Well, that's a great question, and I think, Brian, it's totally appropriate for the last couple of weeks, because I know you've been getting hammered with nor'easters on the East Coast, and out here in California, we've had just oodles and boodles of downpouring rain for days and days and days. So I know that last week I put on a workshop in Auburn, California, and we literally had just torrential downpour, like literally an inch an hour coming down at various times. And so the week before that, I had four twilight shoots set up in the week, and three of those, every single night, I absolutely squeaked in under the wire with either using an umbrella or just the weather changed just in time for the twilight shoot. So yeah, man, I dealt with it a lot last week, and I was able to succeed, though. I got all of my shoots and I got all of my twilights, but again, it was extremely lucky. I will give that the credit, but the agents, I like to think my agents think I'm just a lucky charm, but everybody knows that's not true. But I found a few solutions for me, and you know, we can talk about so many aspects of this, because when we could be dealing with, you know, how do you keep your gear dry? How do you get your gear in the house? How do you see out the windows with rain or with bad weather? Twilight shoots, and then a big one is, you know, how do you enable not seeing rain in something like a twilight shoot, where you might have lights there and the refraction of the light on the raindrop. So why don't you get it started off? What is your, let's talk about the first thing, cancellation policy. What do you do for a cancellation policy there, Brian?
The truth is, I mean, it's tough to charge a cancellation policy due to weather, because it's not like the agent's calling you and saying, hey, I screwed up a date, or hey, we can't do it, we have to change it. You know, the weather is something that's out of everyone's control. So it's one of those things. And, you know, we're in different sides of the country and we have a very different situation, because, like you said, we had a couple of nor'easters the past 2 weeks. And, you know, if it was just rain, that's one thing. But then, you know, 4 or 5 inches of snow on the ground, that puts you back a couple of days till it melts, because a lot of the agents here don't want snow, especially this time of year where their listings might go into the spring or summer. They don't want snow on the ground, because, you know, their images are going to look a little dated. So it does set us back. If I told you how much I lost this winter just from postponements and cancellations, you know, you'd be shocked. But, you know, especially because I'm a drone pilot and I fly drones a lot. But, you know, it is what it is, and it's part of the deal working in New York. But most of the time it's just, you know, strictly postponing. You know, if a client calls me and says, maybe, hey, we just want interior stuff, then maybe I'll go out and do it. And, you know, I might not need to do any window pulls because the exposure is a lot closer and stuff like that. But as far as shooting exteriors, it's usually just cancel or postpone it. It's tough to go out and shoot out here in New York, you know, especially when it's raining.
Sky replacements.
Yes.
I did sky replacements on every one of my exterior. I must have done 60 sky replacements last week.
Oh boy.
Yeah. Well, it's all part of it. It's part of my added on service. And I charged the minimal for one agent just because it was every single sky. I think we did 20 skies for the exteriors of this house, and it was okay. I didn't mind doing it, but I'm pretty good at sky replacements. But
do you replace the skies even if the ground is wet?
Oh yeah, because people think it's supposed to be wet. Uh-huh. you wet down the driveway. which actually is a whole nother interview, because in California, you never wet down a driveway because you get hate mail because of the rain, the water shortage, mm-hmm. and which is a true story. But now I think it's great. And, you know, one thing I want to emphasize, you had mentioned two things. One was window pulls and one was just shooting interiors. I personally, and last week with the workshop, was all overcast the whole week. And we actually loved it because I find that unless it's completely like scary dark outside with the rain, it is so much easier to shoot in overcast sky because your dynamic range is just cut in a quarter. And it was really easy. And we almost had a problem with a reverse window pull where you are not actually exposing for the window like a Scott Hargis move where you're exposing for the brightest thing in the room. And then which would be maybe the view. But we're exposing for the room, and then we're going to have to add in ambient exposure for the window because it's just too dark, you know, outside. So it's its own problem.
No, for sure. But I, you know, sometimes I don't mind that, like you said, when it's a little overcast, because
it does make it much
easier on site and easier in post and all that stuff. But yeah. When it gets too gloomy, that's not a good look.
Yeah. Well, yeah, no, I think in as far as cancellation, I agree 100%. And let's just for a second say a cancellation. I always give my agents one cancellation. The first one's on me, and it gives me a great opportunity. And this would be more of a cancellation for I screwed up or the owner's not ready. Within 24 hours, I give the first one, and I say, okay, you know what? I'll definitely let this one slide. But in the future, this is the policy. So I think that's a good opportunity to not be a hardball at the beginning where you're just meeting a client and go, oh, by the way, there's a weather cancellation policy. That's not something I want to put out there at the beginning. But I think I can let them slide one time so you look like a good guy. And then you get your point across. So next time it hopefully won't happen. But with weather, I agree with you. You just got to eat it. But I will say one thing. There are agents, though, that kind of see it as an opportunity to, oh, I want to postpone it because I want it to be the most beautiful, bright, sunny day. And I can't, unfortunately, absorb that kind of leeway into my schedule. So the realtor needs to know that I've got to shoot it even if it's cloudy. Now, I will give you a sky replacement. And actually, it's kind of amazing. My agents look at the completely rainy photo with the sky replacement. It looks great. And it looks like you wet down the driveway. So no problem there.
Sure. And I also think regarding cancellation fees, just to go back to that one more time, I think it depends on the nature of the agent and your business and what kind of relationship with you have with them. You know, I have an agent out here, a big agent on Long Island that probably gives me $20,000, $25,000 worth of work a year. And they cancel every so often, but they're giving me so much work that it is what it is. You know, that's just, you know, I mark it off as me just, you know, giving them good customer service. And I say, okay, no problem. When you want to reschedule, because they're giving me that amount of work, I'm not going to, you know, start fussing over canceling one out of every 10 shoots or 12 shoots that they want to do. So.
I think it's however you want to do your business. But for me is I don't have one price or one rule for everyone. I have, it depends on the relationship with that particular client. So I agree with you. Let me ask you another thing. I'll mention I've got a few gadgets that I use for rain that really help me. And I know that a lot of people make fun of me because of my antics with hot glue, making hot glue work on cameras to to put things on. And I put it on my button so I can feel it. But another thing I have is silly little umbrellas. Mm-hmm. And I actually bought a... I bought the umbrella hat last year. Yeah. And it was on Amazon and it's extremely well built. It is really effective. And you just go on Amazon and look at umbrella hat and you will see this thing. And I'll tell you something, it's the greatest thing I ever bought. Well, one of the great things.
Buy the multicolored one?
It's like a green strap it's accentuated with a green strap, and it's silver. I love it.
I know
it's
great. They sell a multicolor one, like a rainbow color.
Yeah. No, I don't have the rainbow color. Okay. No, I'm not going there. But I will say that you got to be careful because you almost feel like the flying nun where you're going to be taken away. So if it's raining, I mean, if it's really windy, you may throw off your whole shooting in the rain. But my other thing is I take a Manfrotto magic arm, which if you look that up, it's a very useful tool. Do you have one of those,
Brian? I have three of those. I use the magic arms along with the Manfrotto super clamps, if you're not familiar with those, and I clamp everything to everything. It's great.
Yeah. And I think that I have clamped on my my umbrella. I use a really nice, beautiful golf umbrella. I bought a very expensive golf umbrella, but it's lasted forever. And I attach it to my tripod, and there I have this huge umbrella on top of my tripod, and I literally can shoot in the rain, so I got no problem with it. And you know, sometimes, again, you get light refraction off of the raindrops, but most of the time, it's going to be fine, and it has allowed me to be shooting in some terrible weather. And even for my other shooting, I just shot a two-day Spartan race, like a Tough Mudder obstacle race, and we were out in the field for, yesterday I shot for 11 hours, and Saturday I shot for 10 hours, and Saturday was, half of that 10 hours was in pouring rain, so I have a thing called a Think Tank Hydrophobia rain cover for my camera, so I can shoot literally in pouring rain, and it's no fun. But sometimes I'm paying jobs, I got to do it. And it's not something you would really use for real estate photography, but I'm very well adapted to shooting in the rain. And I did this weekend. So I don't mind it. It's kind of a hassle, but it's just part of the game.
Exactly. And, you know, from my standpoint, I try to avoid it if I could. If I need to, then yeah, I'll just use an umbrella. I mean, if it's torrential downpours, as you mentioned, like last week on your workshop, then I won't do it. I'll just postpone. But if the client calls me and they say, I need these this week, no matter what, sorry. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like you said, just, you know, clamp a little umbrella on somehow and go for it. Do your best.
Yeah. Now, do you ever have problems with your lens fogging up? Where some people in the humid South have that problem. Yeah, you ever deal with that?
I deal with that in the summertime here.
And that happens. Right. Going from air conditioning to the warm.
So what I'll do in the summer is I'll always shoot my exteriors first because my lenses are in the car. So they're a little warmer and all that stuff. If I go inside and shoot the interior first and there's air conditioner on and they get cool and then I go out, I'm done for about 10 minutes till all the fog goes away. So in the summertime, I always start with my exteriors first while the lenses are a little warmer and make sure that's taken care of and then go inside and do the interior afterwards.
And one thing I want to mention, and this is very true, I think a lot of this has to do with your frame of mind, where like people in the Northwest have it together in Seattle. You ask them, what do they do about rain? They said, man, it rains every day. Well, that's no problem then. You just kind of get a different attitude and you work around it and it's not a big deal because I know that when you're just starting out, rain can really be very devastating, you know, like you're worried about it, you're looking at the weather forecast. But I think once you get used to it and you just keep the right tools in your car, I always keep the umbrella in the car and the clamp, and I just take it in stride. It's just not that big of a deal
exactly,
for me.
Exactly, and try to figure out a way to
work. It's not a nor'easter, though. So.
But you know what? You figure out a way to work it into your style and make that part of what you deliver.
The rain exactly. Look, yeah, it wets down the
if
driveway,
you're shooting in the Northwest and it's raining every day, that's going to be your look, so.
Yeah, great. Any other aspects that we missed on that rain thing? I mean, there's a lot we could talk about, but
we got the basic gist across, and that was it.
Weather-sealed cameras. All my cameras are weather-sealed, except my tilt shift's not weather-sealed, which it's actually in the shop right now for a little bit of rain damage. But don't go there. Yeah, I don't want to even think about that. My new 19 tilt shift got a little bit wet.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, well, don't do that. But it's just a tool, and you know, I got insurance, so it's all covered.
Cool. So speaking of rain, you had your workshop last week, and it rained the whole time.
It didn't rain the whole time, but it effectively put the kibosh. We didn't get the twilight shoot. We had a little bit of a, just before the twilight, we went out and shot the pole. We did a demonstration and everybody got to do some shots just before twilight. And then it just came down like a mother. So I was really glad I canceled the twilight portion. But yeah, the workshops were great, man. We had two full days of, we had nine participants, and everybody had a great time. Everybody learned so much, and I really had fun, and I can't wait till Seattle at the beginning, second week in April.
Speaking of the Northwest and raining every day, going up to Seattle.
I'm bringing my umbrella.
Right, cool. So, and your magic arms and your hat.
Yeah, my magic arm and hat. And I will be doing a whole video or podcast on my experience there. With the workshops, but I certainly will find it interesting because I'm another aspect is I'm going to be flying with all my gear. So I have a Think Tank was nice enough to give me a very large, it's called a Logistics Manager 50. And it's just imagine your regular size rolling camera bag, Think Tank bag, and double it. And it's just, I think it's 100 pounds empty. But I will have some information on flying with gear and how to transport for when you start getting into those designer shoots and things, you go on location. So that'll be some good information I'll be able to put out there for people.
All right, cool. It's good info.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we got another another question.
We do. It's on white balance. And yes, by Gary Atkins Photography. And let's roll it. Here we go.
Hey, guys. This is Gary Atkins with Gary Atkins Photography over in Raleigh, North Carolina. Just added .com to that Gary Atkins Photography, and you got me. I'm wondering about white balance. Maybe I have incorrectly understood that shooting with auto white balance, even in RAW, is not advisable because the camera is basically making little adjustments along the way, and so you're kind of chasing a rabbit when you get ready to process it. But I know most of the time, at least from what I can see, and I'm actually getting better results now that I shoot auto white balance on RAW, and also process as auto white balance. So I'm wondering if you could comment on that whole white balance issue, which could be a couple of podcasts in itself.
All right. Thanks, Gary, for that question. That's a good one. Shooting auto white balance in RAW is not advisable. Well, let me tell you this. I shoot auto white balance 95% of the time. So if it is or not advisable, I do it.
You're such a rebel.
Look, the truth is I find it easier on shoot when you're in a rush, when you're, you know, have an hour and a half to get in and out. Especially when I'm shooting raw, I know I always have the options of fixing it after. And look, I'm also using a cam ranger most of the time as well. And if I see in the image that something is off, then I'll go in and manually white balance using a Kelvin number and do something accordingly. But the truth is when you're using flash, and sometimes I shoot with lights on a lot in the house, when you're dealing with a lot of mixed lighting, it's tough to nail it down. So obviously my flash overpowers most of the white balance from the lamps and all that stuff. So I'm usually shooting at daylight most of the time anyway, but I just find it's easier and quicker to move through the house and shoot auto white balance. And I don't think, and I could be wrong, and you can attest to this, Rich, I don't think it should affect anything as far as quality if we shoot an auto white balance and switching it after, because I can go in, you know, to post in Lightroom and change it from auto white balance to manual and type in the Kelvin I want, and it'll shift accordingly. So.
Yeah, I got to agree, and certainly we could be wrong, but I've never noticed or been told or heard anything that setting it on auto white balance, I don't think it, anything affects RAW. You know, when I'm shooting JPEG for sports and things, it's important because JPEG, it's all baked in, all those settings. But for RAW, I don't think it really matters, and for me too, and I'm completely 100%, I'm on auto white balance all the time. And the only time I rarely ever change it would be for if I was doing something for a client in a designer shoot that we were sharing an iPad to, or the designer has their own iPad. We're looking at the camera, looking through the camera through the iPads. It will make them feel better to adjust the white balance for the shot, because they're continuously looking at the white balance going, oh, there's something not right about the shot. But for me, the only other time I will do on my own possibly change it is when we're shooting twilight shots. There is always this moment that the pictures go from, in auto white balance, the pictures go from appropriate looking color and to the dreaded blue hour. Yeah, where everything just turns into blue.
That. And then that's also one situation where I use manual all the time because of that dreaded blue.
No, I don't. I just shoot it in blue because I'm like, I know it. I don't care because I know I can fix it later. And it's really simple. I just use my, usually use my, my eyedropper tool in Lightroom and then give a little pop and sync everything. But I don't even change it for that because I know it's just, I'm looking at my monitor being blue, but it's not going to affect my images. So I don't even
When I shoot twilights, I actually do change. And it's probably just my OCD cooking in when I'm just looking at a blue image and I'm like,
But a lot of people want to shoot black and white, want to put their camera on black and white to preview if they're going to be shooting in black and white, because that can adjust. There's two things that can adjust. One is just the way you look at things and the way you're dealing with your subject, whether it's a landscape in black and white or a portrait in black and white. A lot of people want to set it, you know, shoot it in black and white, or turn your white balance to black and white, and then you know, you can change it later and still shoot raw. But the other thing too is a lot of people will, and this is really, really technical stuff when you're getting into high-end architecture or design photography. And I remember it back in the motion picture days where the director of photography would take a Polaroid picture of the lighting set and in black and white, a black and white Polaroid, because, and I apologize, I'm not the right one to say all the technical reasons to do this, but it really affects the way you see lights and darks and dynamic range and things like that. So a lot of times photographers will do a shot in black and white to really see the luminosity. I think it really helps to break down the luminosity of a scene to preview it in black and white. But for me, I'm always on auto 100% of the time. No big deal, except if I'm shooting JPEG.
Like I said, I'm also auto almost all the time, except for twilights, which you just reminded me. Or if something's very off, then not looking right. And that's probably just, like I said, because I have OCD and I just like to look good in camera for some reason, even though I know I can fix it. But other than that, I mean, that's a quick one. I don't see why there's any conceivable reason for people that are shooting real estate to not shoot auto white balance. It's just easier, you know. I was about to say on set, you were talking about your movies, but it's easier on set and quicker. Just make things a little quicker when you're shooting.
Yeah, I want to add a couple of things too, though. I think that there are some exceptions to the rule. But you know, in general, I wanted to mention things like HD in camera HDR doesn't work with RAW. So that's a good thing to know, that if you're going to try the in camera HDR, it has to be done as a JPEG. Other things too, like noise reduction, in camera noise reduction does not work with RAW and only works with JPEGs. And anything else there, Brian?
I would tend to agree. If you're not shooting RAW, then I would not do auto white balance. Correct.
I still shoot auto white balance, even if I'm shooting JPEG, except in extreme cases, because I'm working for a company or shooting for a big race where my the colors could change minute to minute, and I might miss the change in color. So going from auto to, let's say, cloudy on a rainy day, if it's not like cloudy 100% the whole day, I might still leave it on auto, even though it's going to be a little cool, the colors, I still leave it on auto. So I'm still an auto guy.
Okay, yeah, I just feel like if the camera guess is wrong and you have all that JPEG compression on, there's not as much leeway to correct afterwards. But if you do it and you're okay with it and it works, then so be it. That's the best part about what we do is, you know, there's no real rules except make your vertical straight.
I disagree. There are so many rules compared to wedding photography or it's just no creative license in some ways for me.
I guess, yes. And there are basic rules to follow. But when you're in a, I guess, an art like where we are in photography, look, you know, you take your images as long as someone's willing to pay you for them, then, you know, you're making it as a professional photographer.
Oh, wait.
That's the bottom line.
You get paid? Oh, man.
Yeah. Most of the time. I'm not chasing my clients for money, yes.
Oh, there's another podcast. So.
Yeah.
So that's two great Ask the Guys questions. Rachel and was it Gary? Gary Atkins?
Gary.
Yeah. Right on. Two people I've known the name for well over several years. It's been another testament to how great the groups are. You know, everybody helps each other out and spreads the information.
Exactly. And we have a handful of more to come. You know, we have a nice queue of Ask the Guy questions that are going to be answered hopefully in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, we don't want to get all of the great interviews that we have lined up. We don't want to get them we want to have them spread out so we have plenty of really interesting stuff, and it's great filler in the middle to throw in and ask the guys. So sure. I really like them.
All right, I think that wraps it up for us with these two questions. So again, thanks Rochelle and Gary for the two questions, and all the listeners out there, make sure you come and submit your questions. We're here to answer them the best we could, and as Rich always says, if we can't, we'll find someone that can. So
Yeah, and I don't mind researching for that. So don't forget, everybody, do your searching in the groups. Do your instead of asking the same question, which lens is best for real estate photography? Just do a search because there's a lot of info out there. So anyway, great. So this is Rich Baum from beautiful, beautiful, sunny Sacramento, California.
And Brian from sunny New York, too. A little cold, but sunny.
What is the temperature out there, Brian?
We're just a little under 50 today, so probably about 47, 48. So we're getting up there. It's supposed to be in the high 50s, 60s at the end of the week, which is perfect for the start of baseball season.
Yeah, and I'm getting ready for the start of twilight season, which now it's starting at 7:30, and then it's going to 8 and 9 o'clock. So that's the only thing I dread about this time of year is the nights get so, the days get so long, and I'm coming home at 10 o'clock at night for my twilight shoots. But I'm happy with it, and really looking forward to the rest of the year because there's some really exciting things happening.
Yeah, for sure. All right, Rich.
Okay.
Go drink some hot soup or tea. Get that voice back.
I've got to get better. And you do the same thing and have fun with your home remodel Brian. We don't need to go into that, but I feel for you because it's tough.
Not fun, but it is what it is.
Okay, everybody. We'll talk to you next time on Shooting Spaces, a real estate photography podcast.
Take care.
This has been Shooting Spaces, a real estate photography podcast. Subscribe to the show and don't forget to leave us a review. You can also follow Rich and Brian on social media and at their website, shootingspacespodcast.com.